Good morning, everyone. For those that don't know me, my name's John. By day, I'm a lawyer, and by night, I'm still a lawyer. I don't fight crime. I'm not Daredevil. Is that the show, Daredevil? He's a lawyer by day and he fights crime at night. Now, for the first time here today, and she just took off because she knew that I was going to do this, is my lovely wife Laura and our newborn baby Ezra. I'm sure that it's because he needs a feed and she's hiding out the back somewhere for that reason. And the two girls, Amaya and Ida, are out at Kids Church. Now, when I met Laura, she already had the two girls, and I can tell you that it's been a pretty whirlwind experience going from being a single man to being married with two kids and then a third in the space of not long. I can't even tell you because all the days roll into together, so I can't even tell you. But it's been great. Being a dad is different, not something that I ever even thought I would experience when I got to 28 or so, and I was still single, and I thought, oh, well, it's probably not going to happen. Probably not something I really want happen. I'm too selfish to have kids anyway. Let me tell you, you learn very quickly not to be. But thank you to Dale and the church for giving me this opportunity to speak. I'm not really much of a preacher, but more someone who likes to teach. So forgive me that if this is like a teaching lesson and a basic teaching lesson. But what I want to do is hopefully either explain something to you that you may already know so you can explain it to others in a nice simple way, or maybe it's a concept that you've never actually grasped or you struggle with. And the title of the message is Stop Striving and Let the Holy Spirit. Have you ever heard the saying, if at first you don't succeed, try again? Well, I can tell you that's actually a pretty good saying for some things in life. You know, if you're studying, that's a pretty good saying, right? If at first you don't succeed, keep trying. Keep pushing through. However, I'm going to tell you right now, there's some things I can't do, no matter how hard I might try. I could not lift 100 kilograms. Look at me. I'm not going to lift 100 kilograms no matter how hard I try. I would need help. I'm not capable of breastfeeding our newborn baby. Not possible. As much as I could try, it wouldn't work. And I want to tell you today, if there's nothing else you get from this message, is that we can't live a godly life if we try in our own strength. The only way we can do it is by letting the Holy Spirit work through us, is by walking daily with the Holy Spirit. And feel free to scream your hallelujah or that's terrible if it's terrible. I won't be offended. I feel like in recent years the church has really gotten back to a great point in learning about salvation again, that we are saved by His grace alone. And it's this fundamental truth. And for many years I think the church struggled and missed the fundamental truth. We tried to put rules and regulations and things in place, and that's the way we're saved, by following these precepts. But we are saved not by actions, works. It's not by our outward appearance. It's not by our successes or failures. We're saved only by the grace of God. Hallelujah. And this truth has really rung true in recent years, and you see a lot of music even that comes out of churches, is this incredible, powerful truth that we're saved through the grace of God. We can't boast about it. No one's better than anyone else. We can't earn our way. We can't buy our way into heaven. My former boss used to be of the view that, well, he was a lawyer too, obviously, If I do some freebies for some people, maybe some older people, I might do a free will or two for them, then that outweighs the fact that I represent a whole lot of bad people. And that means I'll get into heaven that way. If I just give a bit of my money to someone or to charity, I will buy my way into heaven that way. His view of heaven is, well, if you're good sort of outweighs your bad, you get in. And that hell is reserved only for the really bad people in life. But God says you can't earn it. He alone has made the way. Your sins are forgiven, he says. Jesus said to many people that came to him in faith, even for healing, he said, your sins are forgiven. We have such a tiny part to play in putting our faith in him, and he does the rest. But I want to challenge you today to say that's only part A of salvation. There is a part B that the church, I think, sometimes misses out on. Because the logical question is, now what? I'm saved. What do I do now? And I've actually heard people in church and preachers give some answers. I want to give you some. Nothing. Just keep coming to church. It'll work itself out. Serve. Join a team in the church and start serving. Try to live a good life. Or try to live a godly life. Love God, love others. Get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongues, go on a missions trip. Tell everyone. Read your Bible, but start with John, don't read the Old Testament. Right? Most of these Bibles now, if you give to new believers, they start with the book of John. People say, I'll pray. And then you get to some people who say, well, we need to follow all the law that was written in the Old Testament, or at least those bits that still apply to us as Christians. And some of these answers might be true. They might be helpful. They might be biblical. But how do we actually live a life that's pleasing to God? It's the call that's given to us is we're saved by grace. But how do we then give our life to God and be used as a vessel for him? I don't know about you, but there's a yearning for something more. It's not just I'm saved. I want to actually be more. I think in some ways it's almost human nature. We want to be more and we want to be good. And as Paul says, we can't do it in our own strength, which we'll come to. But the answer to the question is there is a part B of salvation. You know, as I said, Jesus told many people here on earth, your sins are forgiven. But what did he say after that? Does anyone know? Go and sin no more. But hang on. Didn't we just learn in the first part that we can't do that? We can't please God in our own strength. We can't do this sin no more. It's not possible for us in our strength. Jesus' grace and love and mercy saves us. So how can Jesus ask this from us? How can he expect it from us? Well, it seems some people sort of ignore this statement from Jesus. They focus on the first part, and we'll just ignore the second part. And we have others that seem to overemphasize the fact that you've got to follow a whole bunch of rules and regulations that we're going to put in place on you. You need to do all these things now that you're saved. When I was a few years ago, at a church that the theme of the year or the vision for the year was called Represent. And it came from the writing of Paul where he said, whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ. A great verse. And we got halfway through the year and they decided we'll do a bit of a recap to make sure we're all still on this vision and course. And I was challenged this time that the sermon essentially said this. We're saved by grace and then we try as hard as we can to live a godly life. We're going to fail because we're not perfect. That's true. God will have mercy on us and forgive our failures. But we just keep trying. We find opportunities to keep trying. And I think trying was said during this message a lot. And I was challenged by this message because I thought, we can't do this in our own strength. There is a fundamental thing missing here. We heard about in the first readings in Romans 7. Even Paul says he wants to do good, but he fails. He doesn't want to do all these things that he knows he shouldn't, but he ends up doing them anyway. He even says, I'm a wretched man. But that's not the end of the story. Because he says, I'm now saved. There's no condemnation anymore. I'm saved. And then he starts talking about and comparing walking in your flesh and walking in the Spirit. You see, we are born again. We are not saved merely to try in our own human strength to suddenly be able to be godly, because it didn't work before and it's not going to work now. Let me take you to the book of John, where Jesus talks to a ruler called Nicodemus. And in John 3, verse 1, it starts, it says, now there was a certain man among the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler among the Jews, who came to Jesus at night, which is interesting because perhaps he didn't want the other Pharisees to know he was talking to Jesus. He said, Rabbi, or teacher, we know without any doubt that you have come from God as a teacher, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. So he recognized that Jesus had the power of God in him. And before he could even get further, the Bible says Jesus answered. I didn't really hear a question, but Jesus answers and says, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless a person is born again, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed and sanctified, he cannot ever see and experience the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. And of course, Nicodemus asked the logical question. How can a man be born when he is old? He cannot enter his mother's womb a second time and be born, can he? Jesus answered, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, or the physical is merely physical, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We are saved, and a new nature dwells in us. That is why we talk about in Christianity that the change comes from the inside out. The law doesn't empower us to do good. It just shows us how far short we fall of God's perfect standard. That is the point Paul's making in Romans chapter 7 when he says, we can't do this by the flesh. The first part of salvation, that we are saved by grace, would be meaningless if we then said, now we're going to go in our own strength and we're going to be good. We're going to be holy. We're going to be righteous. Because we can't. I just want to say something, that rules are religion. Christianity is a new life. We are new creations, born again. It's a distinguishing feature of Christianity and other religions. So many others, it's about rules, precepts, chants, ways of living, things to sort of tick off as you go about your day. God initially established with Adam and Eve in the garden, a relationship, when he walked every day in the garden. And unfortunately, when sin entered the world, that relationship was partly destroyed. But thanks be to God that he didn't just come to save us and leave us as we are. He came to give us a new life. So this part B of salvation, if you like, this go and sin no more with the Spirit living in us, is an extension of the first part, which is we can't do it on our own. He loves us too much to leave us struggling like we were before we accepted his grace and his love and his mercy. He wants an ongoing transformation. One that will not be perfect. We will still sometimes give in to our flesh. And his mercy and grace will always be there for us. But this transformation will be perfected one day when we're with him in glory. But you might say, well, hang on, how can we possibly go about living in the Spirit? What does this actually look like? I think firstly we have to be humble and realize and come back to this truth that we can't do it in our own strength. I have been someone in church who has been a bit of a snob, I'll be honest, in my own life. When I've looked down on people in the church still struggling with a particular sin and thought, well, I'm better than that. But we are all in need of God and his Spirit. If we don't come with a humble heart, then we're more likely to give in to the flesh and believe that we are doing this in our own strength. Look at me, I've defeated this. So we have to be humble. Secondly, we need to be committed to it. Paul talks about walking with the Spirit rather than walking in our own fleshly desires. There will always be this war waging within us, and we've got to be committed to following the life of walking with the Spirit. The third thing is, and those two things on our part, the third is, let's stop striving. Let us stop trying to be good in our own strength and allow the Spirit to change and overcome the sins in your life. You know, there's some pretty amazing things written about the Spirit. He's our conscience. He's our guide. If we do this in our own strength, what will we do? Eventually we will crash and burn, fail. And I think more than that, it will lead to frustration because we will try and try and try. I've heard some powerful testimonies of people who for years have struggled with the same sin over and over again. And they've got tools and they've read books and they've gone to church and people have prayed for them. And they just can't beat this sin. Maybe they do for a little time and then it comes back again and they just don't seem to be able to beat it. And a lot of them will say, it wasn't until I gave it to God and realized God was with me in this situation and had the power to help me overcome that I was able to finally overcome this sin in my life. So we need to be humble, committed, we need to stop striving. And the final thing is we need to do life together with God. I have a mentor that I've known for many years since he's been in Darwin, and that's how he always describes the Christian journey. It's doing life together with God. The same as doing marriage is doing life together with your partner. The more time we spend with God in prayer, the more we get into the Word, the more we become like Him. I just want to pause and tell you a pretty incredible scientific fact about long-term married couples. You know that science can tell you that they actually start looking like each other. Sounds weird, but there's some old studies that suggest that perhaps it's because they laugh at similar things and they have similar senses of humour, so they eventually develop similar facial features. They also start to talk like each other, so they adopt similar speech patterns. And as you know from anyone who's been together a while, they have a sort of inside language, maybe a look, or a glance. Dale's smiling. He knows. There's always just those little things that you pick up. And it's only because, why? You're doing life together. You're sharing with each other. You know each other's intimate secrets. Let me tell you, God already knows yours. But He wants you to come to Him and share. He wants to share the secrets of His heart with you. We can't live as this new creation if we're not doing life together with the Spirit. Now let me tell you, finding time to do this sometimes is tough in life. As I've said at the beginning of this sermon, going from being a single to being married with two and now three beautiful kids, I thought I knew what being tired was before. I didn't. There's a whole new level of tiredness that you don't even realize exists. And over the last couple of years, I have struggled to find time. But Mum has a book on her shelf. I'm not sure if you still do. You used to many years ago. I've never read it, but the title has come back to me, which is Too Busy Not to Pray. Not too busy to pray, too busy not to pray. You see, the busier we are, the more important it is, because otherwise we're going about our everyday living in our own strength. We're not walking with the Spirit because we're not spending time. So now, thankfully, in the mornings, I get up early, I take the dog for a walk. It gives me the time at the start of the day to spend. And there's opportunities that you might have that come during the day. It is not easy sometimes. And as Paul says, If we're living in the flesh, we're going to be struggling with things, and sometimes there are parts of our life that we don't give to God. And more we have to be intimate with Him and open and allow Him in to whatever we're struggling with. So I want to encourage you that when people talk about salvation, we don't just think about we're saved by faith through His grace, but we also know that we're saved to live with Him and in relationship with Him. God wants to restore the relationship that He had with Adam and Eve when He first created mankind with us every day. I just want to take you to finish through some of Romans 9. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version because it brings to life some of the words that, of course, weren't written in English initially. So it brings to life some of the meanings of those words. And Paul writes, "However, you are not living in the flesh, controlled by the sinful nature, but you're living in the Spirit. If in fact the Spirit of God lives in you, directing and guiding you. If Christ lives in you, though your natural body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness, which He provides." It's not us that provides the righteousness, it's the Spirit. "And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. So then, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation. This obligation is not to our flesh, our human nature, our worldliness, our sinful capacity. It's not to live according to the impulses of the flesh, which is our nature without the Holy Spirit. For if you are living according to the impulses of the flesh, you are going to die. But, here's the good news, if you are living by the power of the Holy Spirit, you are habitually putting to death the sinful deeds of the body. You will really live forever. For all who are allowing themselves to be led by the Spirit of God are sons of God." Hallelujah. I'm just going to pray and then we'll have a moment of quiet reflection while a song plays. And my prayer is that you'll allow this to impact you, whether personally yourself, if you're struggling with something, now's the time to give it to God. Or maybe it's something that you are encouraged to talk to others about, to explain that salvation doesn't just end with saying the prayer, the sinner's prayer, but now it's a new and living way and a relationship with God. So let's pray. God, we thank You that we can't boast about anything because it's only by Your grace and only by Your mercy and in Your love that we are saved. We thank You, Holy Spirit, that You come to live with us. We pray that each and every day we would learn more and more to walk in the Spirit, that we would do life with You every day, that we wouldn't think that salvation ends with saying the prayer, asking for Your grace and mercy, but we would know that You, Holy Spirit, come to live in our hearts. That if we walk with You, we can learn to live a better and different way. That You will guide us and You will lead us. That You will be our conscience. That it is You who will transform us from the inside out. And we thank You that it's not in our own power or strength, so that we can't boast, so that we can't look down on others or think that we're better, but we are all striving together, not in our own strength, but giving it all to You, God, allowing you to lead us, allowing you into our hearts, allowing you to transform our minds and being in relationship with you. And we pray that if there is anything in us, God, that is not of you, when we still walk in the flesh in some things and we find ourselves fighting a losing battle as we're trying to do it in our own strength. My prayer is that we, myself included, God, would stop striving and allow your Holy Spirit to lead and direct and overcome the sin and brokenness in our life. We give it all to you, God. Amen.